Also, and remember this about judging. Remember this about judging, okay? It doesn't always show up the same way, but it always has the same effect, okay? In other words, if you are a quiet person, and maybe you really are a quiet person compared to someone like me who's not quiet, okay? And so a quiet person who judges controlling people, they wouldn't think they're controlling, but their control is passive aggressive. So it doesn't mean I never ever had to have passive aggressive control. I'm not saying I haven't. But because I had blatant control, once upon a time, because I had blatant control, they judge that and they get passive control if that's more how Satan can get to them, okay? So it doesn't have to look the same, but it's still the same, right? Well, that's, so you have to get, when you get all the control out of you, then when they try passive control, there will be no place in you for it to flare up. And then you'll just be able to say, you know, this doesn't work anymore. I got free from control. And I mean, my kids have tried everything. I mean, we're just a great little example of how God can really get you above this. I'm not saying it doesn't require warfare, but there's a big difference between going and praying and doing biblically what you need to do, not to let that thing back in, than being provoked. Provoked, it's already in there. Rah! To go and pray and seek the Lord and speak blessing is your weapon to stop it from getting in again. Do you understand that? It's like when you get free, it doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. But you learn to go and bless and forgive, and then you actually pray. And that demon, Lord God, that's, Lord, set him free. But that demon that's coming after me trying to get in again, Lord, I don't want him in here again. And I send the thing to the pit and give the punishment to Satan. How dare it come after me again when I've already thrown out his brother, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, don't get the thinking that because I've gone through some deliverance and because God got this out of my heart before, Satan's not going to come back. Let me tell you this. He always comes back to where he used to have you. That's the Bible. He goes out to a dry place. You kicked him out. He's gone. Oh, you're having a nice life. And all of a sudden, blah, he comes back with a party and crew. Can we get back in? Is there a way to get back in? Let's provoke her. Let's try to get her to control again. Let's try to get her into fear again. Let's try to do these things. That's why it's so important to let God be in charge of working out your salvation with fear and trembling so that all that stuff is gone. So that when the enemy comes back, you know, excuse me. It's like, Or somebody jumps up and is crazy again to you, you could just sit back and go, oh, wait, I recognize you. And Father, I still forgive that person. And God, I thank you that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And Lord, I ask that demon go to the pit of hell and get the punishment of Satan. But I thank you, God, that I am no longer going to buy into the enemy trying to provoke me, trying to upset me. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is warfare. There is walking in forgiveness. That's why Jesus wouldn't have said, forgive them 70 times 7 if you have to, if you didn't have to forgive. So there is an action. Okay, there is an action that you have to do when you're attacked by the enemy. And that's going to be for the rest of your life. But it becomes easy. That's the whole idea of the Promised Land. The Promised Land is, I am now equipped, I am now walking with God, I've gotten through the wilderness, I see where, and you're going to go right to where the demons are, right to where the big stuff is, but you're going to know what to do. You're going to know not to take it in, you're going to know it's a lie, you're going to know not to judge, you're going to know not to touch this thing, and you're going to have authority to rule and reign with Christ. So when somebody says, well, you're just this, this, and this, hey, there's nothing in me, it's trying to get in. I know, just make sure Justin knows next week too. We're going to really try, or maybe even Friday, I don't know. We need to deal with anxiety and paranoia. You talked about anxiety when we talked today. Bring that up. Do that in your thing next week. And we're also going to talk about paranoia. And I really was going to break them into groups, but I really didn't do it. So we just got to get over that till we get there. Galatians 5:29. Right, and I think that's what we're going after tonight. I think because That's the demon we're going after tonight. Because I know what, the thing I told Edie, God, let me put this on. The thing I told Edie was, I said, because she said, what difference does it make? That's kind of the reaction you get from the passive aggressive, I didn't do anything. You know, I'm not saying anything, I didn't do anything. And so I said to Edie, I said something like in the morning, I said, I didn't have a clue. The reason I didn't wake her up, just so, not that you, I'm defending myself, but I'm just telling you the whole story. I woke him up the night before, just because God woke me up. And actually, I didn't mean to wake him up. I woke him up taking notes and stuff, which I didn't even use, but you know how that goes. But I used my computer for an hour and wrote down, got all this stuff. So then I thought, and they kind of made comments very gently and nicely in the morning that they knew I was awake. So the next night, when God wakes me up, and he's really dealing with me and talking about some stuff we talked about before, I did not want to wake him up unless I had to. So I asked the Lord, I said, God, I got to talk to Karen. I got to talk to somebody. And I'm going to talk to Karen. That's our relationship. Folks, get over it. People have different relationships. I will talk to Karen. Karen is a good listener. Karen will tell me the truth. And she's used to it. We've been doing this for 15 years or something. So I'm like, and there's certain things I talk to Karen about. There's certain things I talk to Edie about. There's certain things I talk to Don about. There's certain things I talk to my husband about. There's certain things I talk to Nilo about. It's amazing how it's okay to have different relationships with different people and talk to them about different things. Isn't that cool? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. There's things I talk to Terry about. Or sometimes I'm just talking to Terry, and God will use her to give me insight into stuff on me. And vice versa. She knows when God says, when she's working stuff out, a lot of times she'll call Donna. When God's like ready to give her deliverance, she'll call me. It's okay. Good gosh, let's quit judging each other. Let's have the freedom to have relationships any way they turn out. And if you don't have enough good relationships in your life, look in the mirror. And ask God, what is in you that causes people not to want to have a relationship with you? And quit blaming them. Quit judging them. Find out what's in you that makes your life lonely. And let God show you. And he will. He likes showing you stuff like that if you're ready to see it. He's not going to show you. He's not going to flip the mirror around. You're going to see my picture in there. Oh, it is her. The concept about the mirror is whenever you look in it, guess who's looking back? Some people, this is a strong man. Some people, it's just part of the package of some junk you got. If it's just anointing to break it, it's no big deal. If it's a strong man and it's something you've done and done and done. See, Edie came from thinking she was so bad. I mean, she actually was born already thinking she was evil and a mess, and she was bitter against God, though she didn't know that, okay? That was like her strong man. This was like a strong man to her. Her only self-esteem came in judging the other people's actions as wrong. That was her whole self-esteem, to be able to look down on somebody through judgment. Do you understand that? So for her, it was a strong man. And all the stuff we've been doing has been plundering the house. For other people, this isn't something that's that big a deal to you. It's not, you know, your thing is different. It's a fear of this. It's that. Everybody's stuff is different. When we do this corporately, some people are really just getting rid of little. It's like, think of it, flinging the little thing off that, hey, thank God I'm freer. For some people, though, it's really deep. And so it's a plundering job, plundering the house. You know, some people will see it. Some people won't. Galatians 5:26. Yes, ma'am. Okay, let us not become vainglorious. What's vainglorious? Anybody ever look that one up? Is that what it says? All right, let's see. Vain, all right. Vainglorious, ready? Vain to excess of one's own achievements, elated beyond due measure, proceeding from vanity, boastfulness, with empty pride, the state of being vainglorious or of being filled with empty pride. It's empty pride. All pride is empty. Glory, pride, boastfulness, that is in vain. A lot of boasting here, guys, even if it's in your own brain. Vanity excited by one's own performance. Ooh. Vanity excited by one's own performance, empty pride, undue elation of the mind. Let me look up vain. Okay, empty. Oh, ready? You know what vain means? Ready for this? All right, listen to vain. Empty, worthless, unsatisfying, having no genuine substance, value, or importance. Without result or force, fruitlessness, proud of petty things or of attainments, having a high opinion of one's own accomplishments or with things more shown, more valuable, they're conceited, empty, unreal, showy, false, deceitful, not genuine, trivial. Let me just tell you biblically what I believe it means. Vainglorious means you are getting your needs met by thinking about what you're doing, what you have, what you look like. And to God, all of that is empty. Because everything that you actually have, He gave you. The way you look, He made you. I mean, Satan could have messed with it some, but overall, he made you the way you look. And so vainglory is really getting your needs met like Satan did in your gifts and your talents and your personality. And let me say this. If you think you're nothing, it's the same thing. And it's going to result in bitterness. If you, when you measure yourself and judge yourself against what others have and who others are, and you find yourself falling short, it's still vanity because it's empty. Your whole way of thinking is so wrong that it causes you to feel inferior. And if you look at what you have and your way and what you have and you feel superior, it's vainglorious because you're acting as if you did something special to be like that. And this is all that contending we were talking about. God doesn't think like this. God doesn't think like this. God does not see one color superior to another color, one race superior, or one race, one gender. He doesn't see one social status. He doesn't see one education level. He sees nothing as being superior or inferior. He sees every person being created to what He has for them to do for His glory. Every need that you have needs to be met in Christ. And when you get a need met in your gifts, your talents, your skills, your personality, your education, your money, and your performance, you are touching His glory, and therefore it's vain glory. And pride comes, haughtiness comes what? Before destruction, and pride comes before a fall, or vice versa. Pride comes before a fall, and haughtiness before destruction. Which is it? Pride before destruction. In other words, pride will take you to hell. If you stay separate from God and just looking at your own stuff, you're going to end up in hell with Satan. That's why Jesus said it is more difficult for a rich person to go through the eye of a needle, I mean for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to be saved. It'd be hard for a rich person to go through the eye of a needle too. Camel's bigger than even a rich person. What God is saying there is, you know what? If I chose, because of my purposes and my calling for my glory, to make you extremely good looking, according to what the world likes to judge, if I gave you the right education, you know, money, social status, if I gave you a lot of gifts and a lot of talent, and I gave you a high IQ, you will probably go to hell. Because unless something major comes into your life, you're going to use all that for your own purposes, and pride leads to destruction. Now, truthfully, I would rather be stupid. Don't call me stupid. I would rather be uneducated with a low intellect, ugly as a dog. Not that dogs are ugly. Whatever nationality, race, or gender that is the most despised, than to have God give me everything for His glory and I use it for myself. Satan is the prime example of vainglory. It's a totally horrible thing to take what God gave you for His purposes. And His purposes are always to help other people, to love other people, to encourage other people, to glorify Him. They are never about you, because everything about you should be complete in Christ. And that's where freedom is. Because if your vainglory is in your looks, I don't care how much plastic surgery you get, by the time you're 70, you're not going to look like the 20-year-old. I don't care, you know, if you're Michael Jackson. You can pull it, twist it, cut it, snip it, and shape it so many times, but eventually you're going to not look like a human being, because a 70-year-old is not going to look like a 20-year-old, no matter what. Because God doesn't want you to look 20 when you're 70. And if that's where you get all your identity, what are you going to do when you can't use your looks to feel good about yourself? What are you going to do financially? That's how you lord it over others. And everything falls apart. And if you don't take the sign of the beast, you cannot have a business license. Are you going to fall apart when all of a sudden you are in the lowest class on the universe because you are a Christian who will not give in to the Antichrist system? Or are you going to be complete in Christ and say, God, get a raven to feed me. Let's just party till we're out of here. There really is a freedom in Christ. There's a freedom in Christ that's awesome. There's a surrender in Christ that you don't care. You don't blame anything. Or, you know, I was asking God last night, you know, Lord, because I go by all these churches on Sunday and everybody's churches were full, and not half, but quite a few of you went to other churches instead of here, and that's between you and God. And I know there's a freedom here that if you don't want to come on Sunday, you don't come on Sunday, and all this is great and fine. But I was really looking forward to seeing everybody after the Philippines, and I thought, Easter will be really full. Easter was one of our smallest Sundays. And I'm like, where's this person? Oh, they're at church here. Where's this person? Oh, they're there. Oh, my own son worked because he didn't think of taking off, because he normally doesn't work till the late shift. And the person at the early shift took off, so they put him in there. I think on Easter, what is wrong with you? Easter really is a holy, holy day. And honestly, there needs to be enough reverent fear of the Lord for people to know Easter should come ahead of everything else. Church should come ahead of everything else on the most holy day. And if we have to cancel all kinds of afternoon plans, then maybe they should be canceled, instead of people not recognizing how unbelievably important and holy it is to come together to celebrate what Jesus did for us.